Blog Talk Radio.
This is truly a day that God has made, and we must learn to rejoice and be glad in it. This is a wonderful day that God has allowed us one more time to come together in a fellowship to explore the Word of God together. This is Wednesday night inspirational Bible study, and it is hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And as always, I welcome each and every one of you that may have called on the phone line or may be listening live on the internet. I want you to know that God finds favor and you keep showing up. This is an act of commitment on your part, and all glory and honor goes to God because he's truly worthy. Well, tonight is Wednesday night, and it's a time that I look forward to, and I thank God for the opportunity to be able to come before his people. And as always, I want you to know, for those who have their Bibles and those who don't have your Bible, this is Wednesday night Bible study. And the book that we are studying is the Bible. So if you have your Bible, you can open it up to the book of Philippians. And we're going to be in Philippians, the second chapter, verses 12 through 15. Philippians, the second chapter, verses 12 through 15. And I just want to say, I thank God for you, each and every one of you, because there could have been something else that you would have been doing. I want to remind the people that's listening on the internet, if you would like to join in, make a comment, pray, give words of encouragement, ask for prayer on behalf of yourself or others, you can dial the number that's on the screen on the internet, 1-347-945-7659. You will come into the studio, you press the one button on your phone, and I will be able to open a line, and you may pray. So we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. Before we start, we have to go to the throne of grace. And as always, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. I'll open the mic, and I'll let you pray. If not, we're going to go into the throne of grace. Once we finish praying, I will play a song that I think is appropriate for the lesson tonight. And after that, we're going to go straight into the lesson. So I see we have a prayer warrior on the line. Madison, you on the line tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Would you like to say anything to the people tonight?
Yes, I hope you like the lesson, and it is open up to understand every part of it.
Hallelujah. And you want to pray for us tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you may begin.
God, thank you for this Wednesday that people are able to turn in, tune in, and just listen to my grandma teach about you, and that people can just gather around over that, like up in church, people gather around and just listen to what you have to say up in your time, and that we could understand our time right now, and that we could just be so much excited with a lot of questions. So when we go to heaven, we can ask you them and be amazed about your journey and how things in your life have been, and the downfalls and the things that we have to stick up for, like our religion, sticking up to people when they're trying to pick on you. With your religion, you guys stand up and just say, I believe in God. And that's it. And just stand with us for everything. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. That's Madison Andrew Chambers, 11 years old, my grandson. I want to thank you, Madison, so much for that prayer. And if you can, hold on the line and listen to the lesson a little bit. It will be good for you. But again, I say thank you, Madison. All right, we go on to the throne of grace. Our lesson tonight, because some will call us, hold in. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Philippians. We're going to be in the second chapter, read the 12th through the 15th verse. And the title of our lesson is Get Out of the Way and Let God Do His Work. Get out of the way and allow God to do his work. The song that I chose for tonight is called Step Aside. And I think it's appropriate for the lesson tonight because we have to just step aside when things come in our lives, certain situations, adversities, trials, or tribulation. You know, sometimes we try to handle it ourselves, and sometimes we pray and we give it to God, and before we know it, we done took it back. And sometimes we tell God all about it instead of being patient and waiting for him to show up and show off. We get impatient like Sarah and Abraham did when God told them about the promise of Isaac. But sometimes we got to step out of the way and allow God to do what God does best. You see, we have to trust God, meaning we saying that God knows best. But the song tonight is Step Aside. Once we get through with the song, we will come back and we will go into the lesson. And just listen to, let the song minister to you. Listen to what is being said. Thank you. Thank you. our lesson tonight is coming from Philippians, the second chapter, the 12th through the 15th verse. And the title of our study tonight is Get Out of the Way and Let God Do His Work. Well, before I start any lesson and go into the scriptures, I always like to give a background or some information about the one who maybe wrote the book, where it was written, or the people it was written to, why was it written. So tonight, again, even though we talk about Paul so much, because Paul wrote 13 letters of books in the Bible, the book of Philippians is coming out, is a book written by Paul as well. Philippians were the people that lived in Philippi, and the Philippians was the people that Paul wrote to who attended the church in Philippi. You see, when Paul wrote this particular lesson, he was in prison, but it was amazing that even though he was in prison and he stayed there 2 years, God found favor, and he was under house arrest. And while being under house arrest, Paul still had some privileges. Because, you see, people could come in and see him. He could still preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was able to write. And while he was in prison at this time, he wrote this letter, the epistle of the Philippians. He wrote to the Philippian people. You see, and a lot of times in Paul's letters, it might have was being written because there was discord in the church. They had some type of misunderstanding. But the letter of Philippians was a letter of joy because, see, the people in Philippians were doing what they were supposed to do in most cases, and they always send things to Paul to help him in his Christian journey, and Paul appreciated that, and he was always letting them know. So the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to express his gratitude and affection for the Philippian church, his strongest supporters in his ministry. And we're going to go into the scripture right now. We're going to go to Philippians 2:12. And it reads as follows. Wherefore, my beloved, as we have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'll read it again. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul is writing to them. He said while he was in jail, he wasn't with them. He said, but, you know, as you are faithful in front of me, be faithful even in my absence. And even while I'm not with you, I need you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You see, Paul is letting them know that they should act the right way when he's with him or when he's not. You see, what this is saying, and y'all got to remember, when Paul wrote this, and even though he addressed it to the Philippian church, it's not just for them. You got to see what is in here for you. So let's take it just from the Philippians and let each and every one of us put ourselves and read this letter as he wrote it to them, how it can apply in our life. You see, we should always just do the right thing when someone is looking or not. A person of good character does what is right when no one is looking. That's how you know a person have good character. It's just the good is just in them. You see, but a lot of people have personality. And you see, personality is like perfume. You can put it on or take it off, whatever is convenient for you at the time. You see, people with personality becomes whatever they want the person that they're talking to or standing with or doing something with, whatever they want that person to believe they are, that's what they become. You know, sometimes, that's why sometimes people with so much personality, they get so confused, they don't know who they are. You see, Christ has given us a gift of salvation to enter eternity once we believed. But he had also given us salvation, watch this, which means to be saved from suffering and saved from suffering. It means to be protected and delivered daily right here on earth, not just in the future. But our present, here and now, we are being saved daily. I took this scripture and I took this lesson because I think a lot of people think of salvation as something on the other side. But we have to look at salvation that is working in our lives daily right here and right now. You see, salvation has saving power. Yes, it's gonna be the force that allows us to enter eternal life, but it's also the force working in us daily. Daily. You see, because salvation means to be saved and protected. You see, not just saved for eternal life, but saved right here from suffering. That's salvation. You see, if we go to Philippians 1 and 6, in this same book written by Paul, and all of this Philippian book goes together, and it's a very short book, so when you have time, you can read it. But on Philippians 1 and 6, he said, Paul said, let me tell you this. I want you to be confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will be able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What he's saying? The one who has begun a good work in you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the work of God began in you. And what is that? That's the work of salvation. And when we get further up, we're going to see the different phases of salvation. But Paul is talking about the process of salvation. Yes, once we accept Jesus Christ, we receive salvation. Salvation still works. Salvation started then and it went to work and it's going to complete its work at some point. I'm talking about salvation. You see, since the scriptures say that we must work out our own salvation, this need to let you know that it's not talking about a one-time thing for a one-time thing. If Paul is talking about working out your salvation, you should know that salvation has work, that the one who has begun in us is doing the work of salvation, and we have to learn what our part is in the plan of salvation and the work necessary for us to do here on earth. You see, salvation is a process, and it has a past, a present, and a future. You see, the process of salvation, and one of the driving forces, is sanctification. You see, salvation happens in three phrases. You know, there's positional sanctification, and there's progressional sanctification, and there's completion of sanctification. Three phases. Let's look at that. Positional sanctification. That's what happened when you first believed. You was forgiven of all your sins, and you was set apart. Now, that's the work that God did. See, you couldn't do that, so that's God's work in the sanctification process. He set it up and he made a way for you to be able to get salvation and he began to work. You see, when that happened in most of our lives, because it's then already happened, that's our past. That's the past part, that salvation. Once you accept Christ, that becomes the past because now you're going into another phase. You see, at the time, we receive salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. What that mean? The name of that part is positional. So what that did, that put us in position to receive all that God had to afford to his children. That's why it's called positional, because when you accepted Christ, you got in position to receive all the blessings, all the gifts, all the healing, all the money, all the wealth, all the love, all the joy, all the peace. You got in position to receive it all. And then the next stage is called progressional. Now, progressional sanctification is where we are right now. And we will be there until the end, till Jesus come back again. So when you say salvation, we're living in salvation now, a gift from God that's going to carry us all the way to the end. But we have to do it through sanctification. And now we're talking about the second step, which is called progressional. You see, progressional sanctification is where we work out our own salvation. You see, this is where we do our part. Remember, the first part, it was God. God hooked it up. He had a plan before the foundation world. He had ministered, and all we had to do was accept, and then he went to work. In the positional sanctification where we at now, we have a part to play. You see, we have to study. We have to pray. We have to really sanctify ourselves daily by righteous living. And we have to take time to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, because to really trust God, you got to know him. And to really know him is the only way you could truly love him. Because the love to know God and to know Jesus Christ, to truly know him for yourself, you would have to love him. And you see, we have to really learn in this process how to love one another. You see, this is where we're at now. And this is where we're going to be. It's almost like the part we in now, I'm going to just give you an analogy and hope you could hope it'll help. The year you was born, just say 1953. And then the year you died, just say 2099. And in the middle, they're going to have a dash. And that dash, let's say the 1953, because really that's when we might have was born physical, but when we accept Jesus Christ, we became a brand new creature. So let's say that's when you accepted Christ. So that's 1953. And God, you got in position to receive all that God had for you. And then we living in a progressional stage right now. So let's say the dash is the progressional stage. And then the year you die is the end of the progressional stage. Well, when Jesus come back, he's going to be evaluating your dash. You know, it's going to say how much we studied and how much we prayed and how much we loved on God and how we loved our fellow man and how we decided to do the right thing when no one was looking and how we did this and how we did this. That's the dash, and that's the stage we're in. So that's the phase that we're living in now, the progressional. And that's what we have to do. Remember, the positional was the first one when you got in position, and that was the work of God. The progressional stage is where we are right now, and that's where we work. And then we get complete sanctification. Complete sanctification is the future. It begins at death or the rapture. You see, God's work, this is where God's going to work again. So it's three phases. We only have one part to do, and God does always more than we do. God never asks more of us than he does himself. Excuse. God's work, the completion, and it's completed when our spirit is united with Jesus. You must know that God's salvation includes rescue, renewal, restoration for us now. Stop looking at salvation as it's just the thing that's by and by or on the other side. God is saving you daily. He's restoring you. He's renewing you. He's rescuing you. He's protecting you from suffering. That's salvation. And it's not just for eternity. And I'm going to let you know this. Even though we're in the progressional stage and we're doing the work, we are not working to be saved or to receive salvation. But because we are saved and have been given salvation, we should want to work. We should display Christian character, and as scripture said, with fear and trembling. And I don't want you to think that fear means to be afraid. That fear means reverence unto God, that we should always have reverence unto God. And that trembling means because the Bible teaches us that once God began a good work in us, we are not actually privileged to know exactly everything what it takes to please him. So when we walking around, we are doing our best, but we always wonder if it's good enough. You see, that's the trembling. When you take time to say, you know, even though I'm doing what I'm doing, I want to do more, and I want to make sure. See, y'all call here on Wednesday night because you want the word, because you want to know you're going the right way. You want to know that you're going the right path, and you want to know how to even please the Lord even more. And that's the trembling. That's what the trembling means. So don't, you know, it's not being fearful and shaking in your boots. But it's just having reverence and wanting to please him the more. You see, once you accepted Christ as your Savior, which we know Jesus took away the sins, God say, when I look at you, I can only see my son. God say, I no longer judge your sins, but your works. Am I giving you a license to sin? God forbid not. They say, well, then you sound like you're giving a message that you could do what you want and you're going to be all right. I didn't say that. I said God doesn't judge your sins. It's almost like when Jesus died, now this is me saying this because this is the way it appeared to me. When Jesus died, he said, look, I'm going to take away your sins. I'm going to take away all of your sins because I'm going to blot it out. Because you see the blood of Jesus, when it is poured on your sins, it turn them white as scarlet. They say, the blood that is red like scarlet, turn it as white as snow. He said, I ain't gonna judge your sins because I died for your sins. And if I got to turn around and judge your sins, what sense would it make? Because you see, when Jesus died and on the cross, he said, it is finished. It meant that it was complete. So now if Jesus got to come back and judge all of the sins, then his death would be in vain. He said, now I died for your sins, but you have to live with your consequences. Now, they are Christians, and all of us fall short of the glory of God, and we are not sinless, but we try to sin less. But you see, you're going to have to answer for the consequences of your sins for yourself. I'll give you an example, and it may be extreme. I go out tomorrow and rob a bank. Just like I'm talking tonight, tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to love the Lord too. But humans have problems, and we make mistakes. So I go out tomorrow, and I rob a bank, and I get caught. And I go to court, and even though God delivers some people, he might, you know, I go to court, and I'm found guilty, and I get 15 years in jail. I still love the Lord. I shouldn't have did what I did. Jesus still loved me, but I'm going to have to answer for the consequence of that sin. So besides wanting to please God, most of us don't do a lot of things because we don't want the consequences. And just like you tried to please your earthly father, how much more should you try to please your heavenly father? There are certain things you wouldn't want your earthly father to see you doing or know about you doing it. That's the same way it should be even more for God. But God said, I don't know, no longer look at your sins, because when I look at you, all I can see is my son. You see, to work it out your own salvation here on earth will be sacrificial services required of you. There will be conflicts. Let's not, just because you love the Lord, you're not exempt from conflicts, trials, or tribulation. They will come against you. And God, because he's trying to get you into his intended purpose, he designed for you. Let me say this. All of us have an intended purpose. All of us, not some of us, but all of us has an intended purpose. But you see, what God does, he does a lot of molding and shaping and testing and giving, and we have some painful growing, but we know all things going to work out for our good because God is in control, and he's trying to get us into our intended purpose. And he won't leave you alone once you accept his son and become his, no matter what state you're in, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you did. Come to Jesus. Just get out the way and let Jesus do. Let Jesus do the work in you. And remember, obedience. See, obedience is something that God asks us to do. You could be obedient and you don't. You be obedient, it's going to do something. What it does, obedience produces faith. And faith, when it is solid, it produces a light. You become a light in a dark world. You see, faith gives us confidence to shine in the midst of a storm. How you know some people they be going through and they done love? Them people in South Carolina, all of them got up and said they forgive the man that killed their loved ones. See, that made them shine like a light to the whole world. And it let the whole world know that they trust in God. God said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. They getting out the way and letting God do his work. And because of that, they shine. And that's what God wants from us, to always stand up, just like Madison said tonight, like he must have knew what I wrote. He said, when somebody coming against you about God and teasing you about your religion, you stand up. He's saying, let it be just that. See, we got to get out the way and let God do the work in you and for you and most of all through you. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God. This is my favorite scripture, you guys. And I pray that each and every one of you get you a scripture. Get you a scripture, that scripture that you could hold on to in the midnight hour. Everybody need a scripture when all things have failed and you need a good song. But this is one of my favorite scriptures, and I read it one time, and it gave me peace. And the scripture said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasures. Watch this. It is God which worked in you. So what it's telling you right there, God does the work. You have to let him. He wants pleasure from you, but he know you can't just do it. So it is God that's working in you that he could get his own pleasure out of you. Hallelujah. You see, this scripture let us know beyond a reasonable doubt who is doing the work in us and enabling us to work out our own salvation, which is righteous living here on earth, the here and now. You see, it's by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. Because Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. That's a promise of God. Did you know it was in the Bible? Do you believe it? Oh, he said, no weapon. And look, this scripture is not saying that no weapon's going to form against you. But they say no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, you also got to get out the way and believe God for this totally, because you see a weapon could form against you. God done stopped the weapon from prospering, but the outcome might not be what you exactly looking for. But you see, he fixed it with an outcome that maybe you don't see right now and you will see it later. Or he know the outcome that you may be looking for. If he give you what you're looking for, it ain't going to do you no good because you ain't in position to receive it. So he's going to always work it out. He say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And if they could, he would be a liar. And even when we think about life and we think about death, that seems to be one of the worst things that can happen here on earth, is to be taken out of the land of the living and die. But if you got Christ and your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, hello, that's a good thing. But we just have to trust God. We have to trust him. You see, God is working in us with the aid of the Holy Ghost, equipping, leading, guiding, and saving us to do the kind of work that would please him. He even gave us the Holy Ghost to lead and guide us to do the kind of work that would please him. That's amazing. So just get out of the way and let God do his work. You should be encouraged. The working out of your salvation is not so much your work as it is God. You see, God is producing in you both his will, which means he's giving you the desire, because you got to have the desire to want to do it and to do what that means, to actually accomplish. So if we read this scripture again, God, which working in us to give us the desire to accomplish his good pleasures. Wow. God has never desired anything from us that he didn't provide the provisions necessary for us to accomplish. He's not going to tell you to go east and do thus and so without preparing and making a way for when you get there. God doesn't do it like that. When Jesus sent his disciples to go get the donkey for him to ride down Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he told them, go and tell a man to give you the donkey and send the little coat and send the donkey mama with him. Now, the disciples didn't know where they was going. They didn't know what arrangement when Jesus got there. He said, if the man asks you something, tell him I sent you. When they got there, they asked the man for the little coat and the donkey and told him Jesus sent the man. So, okay, God had already arranged that. He's not sending you out there on a blind. He's not setting you up to fail. You see, God has his will in mind, and he created us for his good pleasure and glory, but for the foundation of the world. Y'all, no, none of y'all are no afterthoughts. God took time and put you with your mother and your father, and I guess some of us could say, why did he do that? But we don't have the answers, but that's what he did. You know, even where you were born, like we in the city of New Orleans, you know, it's not by accident. Because there's a scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, and say, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has an expected end for you, and he's going to work it out and through you till it's all over. God is like saying, I'm going to be the potter. Won't you learn how to be the clay? You see, God knew that man could never achieve his will and give him pleasure in and of ourselves. God is telling us, this is what I want, and here is what you will need to achieve it. Whatever you need, God got it. But we have to do like 2 Timothy 2:15 say, we have to study and show ourselves approved unto God. We have to study to know the will of God. He gave us the gift of salvation through his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish. Once we accept him, he allowed his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to teach us, to help ourselves, come on now, and others. He guides us in a way that we should go and comfort us in time of trouble. He convicts us when we are doing wrong and seals us with the hope in Jesus Christ, which allows us, or should allow us, because so many people have unrest spirits, but it should allow us to rest and trust what God has done, is doing, and has promised to do. You see, salvation here on earth is a gift from God, and what you do with it is a gift to God for his good pleasures. God didn't just give you salvation and walk away and left you alone hanging on out there to deal with the struggles of how to do his will. So don't ever say that. You know how people set you up to fail, they put you somewhere and you got to make it out on your own, but God did not give us salvation and walk away and left us alone to deal with our struggles trying to do his will. He is ever present. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is beside us and within us. God gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Let me say it again. God gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. But you got to let him. You got to cooperate. You see, the secret to a changed life is to submit. We have to submit and obey to God's control and simply get out of the way and let him do the work. Verse 14 says, do all things without mumbling and disputing. What do you have to mumble and dispute or complain about? Everybody complaining about everything and everybody. Remember, it is God that is working in you to will and to do his good pleasure, not your works. Oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. God ain't say, I'll never make it hard. Why would he send his son and let his son die and then make it hard? Jesus took the sting out of death. Trust God to move on your behalf no matter what state you're in. Have faith that God will and shall work it all out, and it will be for your good. You shouldn't go around acting like the unsaved. You can't hardly tell who's saved and who not with all of the complaining and grumbling and conflict and drama that people are doing. You shouldn't go around acting like the unsaved, complaining about everything and everybody. God lets us know that the battle is not ours, but it is his. He is able to fight for us and deliver us every time, not sometimes, every time. God is doing his part, and we must learn to be loving, peaceful, and patient with ourselves. So many of us are condemning ourselves for past wrongs and what we could have, would have, or should have did. They say to be happy, there's three things you should never ask yourself. If I woulda, if I coulda, if I shoulda. The past is the past. And I'm not saying you're not going to remember it because your mind is like that. But you got to press for the mark of the high calling. You are under construction. God is not through with you. And go forth in Jesus' name. Learn from your mistakes and don't do them again. And this is it. You know, I say it, if you do this in faith when it's solid, produce light, don't let your light be clouded or dim by complaining and arguing. And please don't let someone else make your light go out. And watch it, because Satan will try to steal your joy. And the last scripture, 15, said that ye may be blameless and homeless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shall ye shine as lights in the world. You know, the Bible teaches us that we have to be in the world, but we ain't got to be of the world. We know that this is a crooked, evil, perverted world. Look around you. The world represents darkness. The children of God, the sons of God, and the daughters of God should be light. When someone sees you, will they see light or darkness? Do you represent God or the ruler of this world? Does your faith shine as you go through life learning and depending on God? And I say learning. learning. Our Christian walk is not a destination. None of us have arrived. All those who act like they have arrived, they're only fooling themselves. There's so much in the Bible that God has not even revealed to us. It's there, but we'll never get the full revelation of it because we're not ready for it. But, you know, our Christian walk is not, like I said, a destination. It's a journey. And the light goes brighter and brighter each day. And the more we know, the more we shine, the more we do. But it's we go through life learning. Matthew 5:14-16 say, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel on a candlestick, and it give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they should see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, our work is achieved by working out our own salvation, doing what is right, period. Our essential mission as a Christian is to become a light. Have your light ever brought someone to Christ? Can someone look at your life and see God working in and through you? Is there enough evidence in your walk whereas people would know whose side you're on? The Bible says we cannot serve two masters. And we got to stop trying to mix the spirit with the flesh. You see, God's greatest blessing is the gift of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of his only begotten Son. And once we realize this, we can and should be a light in this depraved generation. We were created to conform the world. God chose the Israelites, the Jews, to be his nation. He figured he would work in them, prove to them, give them evidence who he is to them, and they would love him and they would be his people and they would obey him. Well, it didn't just happen that way. But the thing was, they would be the nation that would draw all the other nations in the world towards God. And today we are the church, the body of Christ, not just the church building, but part of the church building, but the body of Christ. And we are supposed to be the light in a world that's bringing the people out of darkness into the light. But it looked like it's just the opposite. The world is conforming the light and dimming it and bringing it into the world. It's amazing that the church will always say, come as you are, because they think they're doing God a favor. They never take time to train and explain what that is about. It doesn't mean wear anything you want to wear. It means whatever state that you're in, come in. Whatever you have done, whatever you're doing, come in. You can't fix it, as I said tonight. You go up and you give God your hand and you get out the way and you let God do the work. God's got to work from the inside out. You can't do it. But, you know, they tell you come as you are, and people come in any kind of way because the fear and trembling, and I spoke in a verse up ahead, I think that was in 12, the fear and the trembling is, the fear is to give God reverence. You shouldn't want to dress no any kind of way coming to God's house. You see, that's why he said you got to work out your own salvation, and that fear mean reverence, and they would know that. But you see, they got to keep coming so they can understand that, and they have to grow. And like I told you, it's a process for all of us. But you see what I was saying about the world conforming us. It's amazing that the church tell you come as you are, and a nightclub has a dress code. Hallelujah. Boom, shakalaka-laka, boom. But as I close tonight, I want you to know, because God has blessed you unto salvation, nothing that comes our way should cause us not to shine. Our eternal life is secure, and that's a good enough reason for us to want to shine. God needs you to shine. God needs you to shine bright in this day and time. Don't you think we need more light? All of the darkness is. Satan is really on his job. He ain't taking no time out. He ain't saying tomorrow. He ain't saying I'm so young. He ain't saying I'm not ready to give God my hand and it's too hard being a Christian or whatever. Satan don't take no times out. He do not go on vacations. He do not take no sick leave. Satan and his imps is taking advantage of every piece of time that they have, and we should too. You see, we have to simply get out the way and allow God to work in and through you. Work out your own salvation. Study the word. Pray. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Loving God and loving one another. Submitting, obeying, and just do the right thing. And you will be a light in a dark world. You must get out the way and let Jesus fix it for you. Whenever you pray, let him have his way, and he will fix it for you. And that's our lesson tonight. And I pray that the word of God, that God allow the Holy Ghost to use me for you. You know, before I get on the air and I pray to God and I tell the Holy Ghost, you know, I'm coming with a spirit of expectancy. I'm expecting you to use me as your vessel and give the word up to people who's going to call in a word. I don't know who's calling in. I don't know what they're going through. I don't have a clue what they need. But God knows it. And if you done went to your altar and prayed to God for a word, God used his servants and he gave you a word. It has nothing to do with me, but it's all to do with God. And it's all to do with the Holy Ghost. I tell you all the time, I cannot give you illumination and I can't give you revelation. I only give you information. It's what you do with the word of God once you hear it, that the Holy Ghost give you a mixture of illumination and revelation. Hallelujah. But that's our lesson for tonight. And as always, anybody who would like to make a comment, ask for prayer, give a word of encouragement, you may press the one button on your phone and I'll open a mic and you could give a word. And if nobody would like to say anything, it is now 9:24. We have 6 minutes because I always try to stop within the hour. Anybody need prayer? If you may have thought of some other words concerning a lesson tonight and you want to share it. Because I tell y'all all the time, I don't know everything. I have a caller that pressed the button. Caller, your number is 504-421-44. Your mic is open.
Good evening. My name is Cynthia, and I apologize. I got tied up and the time got away from me. I wanted to get the topic and the scripture for the lesson tonight.
No problem, darling. The topic, you ready?
Uh-huh, yeah.
The topic was get out of the way and let God do his work. And it's coming out of the book of Philippians. We were in the second chapter, and we expound on verses 12 through 15.
Okay, can you repeat the topic again, please?
What'd you say, baby?
Can you repeat the topic again, please?
You say the topic again?
Yes.
It's get out of the way and let God do his work.
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome, darling. And hope to hear from you again next Wednesday.
Yes.
All righty. Anyone else would like to say anything? Because if not, I'll go into prayer. Anyone would like to pray the benediction prayer? Anyone would like to close the show out tonight? If not, I'll go ahead on and do the benediction prayer. So, you know, after that, a lot of people like music. I'll put the music on, and those who, you know, don't have time or want to listen to the music, you would have been in a benediction. It is now 9:27, and I'm going to the throne of grace and thanking God for what he's done. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I enter your courts with thanksgiving and your gates with praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight's lesson. And Lord, I pray that your word don't return void. I pray that the word that you put in me to give out to your people accomplish everything that it set out to do. Lord, I ask that you touch each and every person that was under the lesson tonight, either on the telephone or by the internet, dear God. And even the people that's going to hear it next week or next year, because, Lord, you're just letting your word go forward and it's just out there for people to get a hold of. And for that, I say thank you. Lord, I'm so grateful and I'm so honored to be able to go before your people, dear God, because I know you don't take that lightly. And I say thank you. Lord, I pray that if someone out there needs you for healing, dear God, heal a body. For financial blessings, give them the finances they're in need of. For encouragement, dear God, encourage their soul, dear God. Whatever they are needing, dear God. For the loss of a loved one, dear God, be their comforter, dear God. Lord, I'm asking that you be with them and guide them and protect them. Lord, I thank you for salvation, what is holding us, dear God, that is holding us day by day, that is rescuing us, that is keeping us from danger and keeping us from suffering, dear God, and delivering us daily out of the hands of the enemy, dear God. That's your salvation working in our lives here on earth. And then when it's all over, you're going to let us rest in our eternal salvation. Lord, I thank you for your son that began the process, dear God, because once we accept him, our sins was forgiven. And now we're working through the progressional stage of sanctification, which you doing work in and through us, and we doing work to give you your good pleasure. Hallelujah, Shanda, hallelujah. And Lord, I say thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for all of your mighty blessings. All that you've done, dear God, all that you're doing, dear God, and all you promised to do. Hallelujah. Lord, you're ever so present. You said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Heavenly Father, you told us to hold on to the confession of our faith late in the midnight hour. Lord, teach us how to rest in you, dear God. Teach us how to get out of the way and let you do the work that you have started in us, dear God. Heavenly Father, and let us be ever so careful to give you reverence and always wonder if we're doing it good enough, dear God, because that's the fear of God. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, that's the lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to say anything, you could still press the one button on your phone. And if not, I'm going to play a song, and then we'll end the lesson for tonight. But I want you to remember that God loves you, and so do I. And because all that God is doing in and out of our lives, we just have to say thank you. And that's the song.
thing you've done in my life. I say thank you. I shall say thank you. Oh, thank you. Hey, I thank you. Just want to say thank you.
And that's our program for tonight. I pray that each and every one of you will be blessed, was blessed. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll be back on Wednesday. Meditate on the word during the week. And I'll be back with you on Wednesday, if the Lord say the same. So may you grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Amen, and thank God. Good night.